Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Dumb, right? Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo, Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It is I. It is Duchess. And you're listening to Inside Matters. And it's Sunday, June 1st. And we will be discussing some good old stuff today. I want to thank my creator for blessing me for sharing another Sunday with you and spending time with my co-host, Jewel. So how you doing, Jules? I hear you out there. I hear you.
Hey, Duchess. This is Jules. I am doing great in North Carolina. It is hot. When I say it's hot, it is hot out there. But I'm doing good. I had a very adventurous week. And now that it's Sunday, it's June 1st, that means it's like half the year is over. I can't believe it because we have been here for half 2014, and it is almost going to be 2015. Isn't that great?
If you say so.
I'm like waiting for the hoopla, you know what I'm saying? I'm waiting. But I'm doing great. You know, I got a Facebook message from my daughter. She is internshipping in Florida in the Disney. Mickey Mouse is her boss, and she took a picture of her and Mickey Mouse, and I was just so ecstatic because she finally made culinary internship in Florida. So I'm proud of her. So that's how I'm doing. I'm fabulous.
I'm proud of her, too. She's come a long way. She and Disney and Steve Harvey's Dreamers Academy, her 2010 experience out there with Steve Harvey's program. And I think it's really, really, really sad that not many children or I don't know any young people within my surroundings who have been honored to take or tried to take advantage of that particular opportunity. Steve Harvey does this every single year, and it was a blessing for your daughter to have been chosen out of thousands of young people for her essay to be accepted back in 2010. And I remember those days, and she followed through with her culinary arts program. And now she's doing it at Disney because back then that's when she learned that she could do an internship at Disney. Good for you, Fasha. Good for you. I am so proud of you as well. Keep up the good work, honey, and tell Mickey I said hi. So.
Right.
I'm not going to complain about it being hot because I know pretty soon the snow will be back, so I'm not pushing summer and not going to complain about the heat. Because heat doesn't bother me. I prefer that to the cold. But I'm doing this walking program. And I started this walking group, as I told you, meetup.com. We are the Leesburg Step-by-Step Amblers group. And we do walking, and I went walking in the woods Saturday. And it's very interesting because there's this one woman that walks with us that always says, "Oh, Yolanda, Duchess, whoever she decides to call me at the particular moment, we're just going to have to get you into some shorts, girl, for you to walk." So I told her I don't do shorts. Usually when I know I'm going to walk in the woods, I wear all white, because if I get any hitchhikers like ticks, I want to be able to see that they're on me without them being camouflaged by something that I've worn in color. And I will wear my white baggy martial arts type pants, and I will tuck them in my white socks, and I'll wear a white shirt, and I'll walk through the woods, and I have on white. So if anything is going home with me, I'll see it on my white clothes. And she called me after our walk and wanted to let me know, this is Miss Wearing Shorts in the Woods, how she found a tick on herself. She found a tick. Like, okay, so you want me to wear shorts in the woods like you wear shorts in the woods so I can find ticks on me too? I don't think so. I'm not going to be pulling ticks out of my skin. Because, you see, up here in Northern Virginia, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but Loudoun County is known for its tick population because we have so much deer up here. And people get ticks on them, and they get Lyme disease. And that's a horrible, horrible, horrible condition to be to have to suffer. I have a friend that suffers through that. So that's what I did yesterday. Well, I did that yesterday. And then I went out with a friend to have dinner, and I finally got my lobster. I've been craving lobster for about a month now, and I finally went to Red Lobster and sat there and ate my crab legs, and that was a nice thing for me to do. And another lady came over to the house. I had lent her the Energy Squared, the E Squared book, and it blew her mind when she used the dowsing wires to move energy around my apartment and have the wires point to the window, point there, point there. So I've had an interesting weekend, and as far as future things go, I'm really thinking about retiring from my job soon. I just have to figure out where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. So that's me for the week. I hear that we lost a phenomenal woman. Do you want to jump right in and let's talk about Dr. Maya Angelou, or do you have some other things you want to share with the audience before we talk about this great person that we lost? Because this is a powerful energy that the world has lost, you know?
You know what? I don't have anything else to talk about, but there was an episode on TV today, and I made sure that I sat and watched it because I'm not going to say much about my age, but I'm only 40, and when I watched this program with Oprah Winfrey, she has done so much that even if I lived to be 70, I would have not known as much as she has done, because when Oprah Winfrey and her were talking, it was just like it was so phenomenal. And so I cannot wait to talk about her because there are so many things that they shared that I'm pretty sure that, you know, some people would even enjoy to listen to. So I wrote down some things, and we can surely share, and we can talk back and forth. Duchess, I cannot wait because I did my research on this one. I am so excited.
Well, one of the things about her that makes strikes me is the fact that she's the same age as my mother. And I still have my mother. But it also allows me to be able to see that a month ago I lost a friend who was the age of my oldest son. So we're talking 45, 47 years old, you lose somebody, and then you have someone that's the same age as someone that you hold near and dear to your heart, and it's your mother. And then you see someone of that age, because I still have my mother and she gets around, I still consider my mother young. I do not consider 86 old. But it also puts me in the middle there as vulnerable. I mean, life can just go at the drop of a pin. You don't know when it's going to happen. And not enough people appreciate one another because they just think that person's going to be around forever and ever. And with Dr. Maya Angelou, when I heard that she was gone, it dawned on me that all of the poetry and all of the books that she's written and the things that she's done, I don't even have one of her books in my possession, and that's a shame because I did read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, but I don't know what happened to my book. There's a movie, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and I know it's her autobiography, but I've seen the movie, but I don't remember the movie. So now you want to go back and you want to recapture these things about this person because they're no longer here. Why do we not enjoy, or we don't enjoy, the people who we have to enjoy while they're presently walking on the face of this earth? Why is it that once they're gone, that's when everybody wants to be, they want to give them recognition, or you want to say, oh, wow, you know? And, you know, and that's the thing that I think is near and dear to my heart, that we don't appreciate one another while we're present. The same thing with Michael Jackson. You know, I mean, how many of how much of his music, or even the movie The Wiz, when, you know, you try to go out and get the movie The Wiz, and now everybody wants this movie, but nobody wanted or cared to look at it when he was alive and give him his just due at that time. But we're talking about Maya Angelou. So one of the things I didn't know, Jules, was that she was a dancer. I didn't know she was a dancer. And she was in the play or the show Calypso Woman. I didn't know she was a dancer. And she was a very, very beautiful statuette. Sexy, very shapely.
Yes,
sexy woman.
Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. In that movie, she was.
Right. So, and I did know that at the age of 7 years old, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend, I believe. I don't think it was her mother's husband. It was her mother's boyfriend. She was raped at age 7. And that's when she stopped speaking. She didn't speak for a long time. She just shut down. That's how traumatic it was. Well, rape is traumatic anyway, but the trauma caused her to shut down. That's how she came about the autobiography, I Know Why, The Caged Bird Sings. And that made her the first African-American woman to write a bestseller. So, That was a huge one. She also directed a film called, I think the name of the film was Down in the Delta, and that was about a drug-wrecked woman who returns to the home of her ancestors in the Mississippi Delta. Have I ever seen that one? No, I've never seen that movie. But now I want to see these things. You know, I want to revisit I Know Why, The Caged Bird Sings. Go ahead, you jump in here any way you want to, because, I mean, I can talk, but I am.
Okay, I mean, I don't know what you have to speak about, and I do know a little bit more now about Maya Angelou. I'm sorry, I had to swallow. I do know more about Dr. Maya Angelou than I did before, and yes, I did find out that she was raped at 7 by her mother's boyfriend, and a little while after that, when the boyfriend had died, was murdered, she thought it was her fault, and, you know, and in her mind, she thought it was her fault, and it took a while for her to forgive, and this is things that I've learned on this show of Oprah Winfrey. You know, when she figured out to forgive, was not to, you know, oh yeah, we're going to invite people over and sit down and talk and have them over for dinner, but you have to forgive to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done renting you in my brain. I'm forgiving you. Move on. I'm taking care of self. I'm taking care of heart. And that's the respect that she gave to herself as she learned throughout the years. And that was the best advice anybody has ever given her, was to forgive. And it's sending chills through my body right now, because there's so much she gave to people, and she respects what people have given her. You know, she's never downed anybody for the things that they have given back to her.
and she respects her mother to the utmost. She said that she does love her grandmother. She was sent off to be with her grandmother. She was raised by her grandmother, but her mother, she loves her mother, and at the age of 13, she had to her and her mother had to get that relationship back. She was sent back to her mother at 13, and it was funny because she was talking about at 16, she wanted a job, and she said that she wanted to be a street conductor because those women, they had really nice clothes, and they had nice tight-fitting jackets and the pants and this and that, and they just looked beautiful. And her mother said, well, if you want it, go get it. Go get it. She said, but Mom, they're laughing at me. They don't want a black woman conductor. She said, if you want it, girl, go get it. And she quoted her mother as being very strong person. So her mother said every day she gave her some money. She went down there. She said, I want you there before anybody else, before the secretaries come. You sit there and you wait. And then when they leave for lunch, you leave for lunch. And then you come back and you sit there and you wait. And every day, she said, for 2 weeks she did that. And the man, the boss man said, you get laughed at. You get cussed out. You get all of this, you know, done to you, and you still come back. You really want this job? She said, yes, I do. You're hired. And for 2 weeks, and then she finally got hired, and she was so happy. And every morning, her mother rode with her with a pistol by her side, protecting her daughter on that trip down there to make sure her daughter was protected. And all of this is in a book that she just wrote, Mom and Me and Mom. And she wants, you know, everything about her mother is in that book. And it was very humbling experience to sit there and hear her speak, because I never really gave her that credit where credit was due when she was alive. And now that she has passed away, that's now where she's getting my credit, where credit is due, and it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't be that way, Duchess. I'm sorry. You're going to have to take over for me because I got to go wipe my face.
One of the things that a lot of people don't know that Jules didn't include when she talked about how Dr. Angelou stopped talking and she stopped speaking because she thought that it was her fault that her mother's boyfriend had died. It's because sometimes children, some adults too, sometimes have this magical thinking. They think because they think something and something happens that they were the ones that did it. And probably she felt that this man had done what he did to her, and she wished him dead. And as a result of her wishing him dead, he died. And that's a powerful thing to happen to a young person, for them to be hurt by somebody and then the person dies, because they may feel that they're the ones that caused such a thing to happen. The other thing, coming up a little bit forward, and we may go back in history, but coming forward, that she was the poet chosen to read at President Bill Clinton's first inauguration, and I believe she wrote in the original composition On the Pulse of the Morning. On the Pulse of Morning. I loved her voice. Her voice when she spoke was so penetrating. And when she gave Rise, because there is a poem called I Rise, when she gives voice to certain issues, she is so profound and emphatic about it that her voice causes the words to resonate through your entire being. She's been known to say that, quote, I'm not modest, and she's told this to the Associated Press in about, I think it was the year 2000. And she said, I have no modesty. Modesty is a learned behavior. But I do pray for humility because humility comes from the inside. Oh, she was a young single parent, so she was like a lot of us, you know, young single mother who worked at strip clubs, believe it or not. Can you believe Dr. Maya Angelou worked at strip clubs to earn a living and then later dance and sing on stages? It just makes me also know that there are some things that I have done that people may consider colorful in my past, and I've always wanted to write about myself, but I've been very reserved about it because there are a lot of me that people may not even know or believe about me, so I just keep those things near and dear and close to myself, but I really like to write about them. And I believe Dr. Angelou wrote about these things in her past so that she could, number one, share it with other women, so other women would know that you are not alone in your struggle or your strife or whatever it is you're going through. But also, this was what the word is, cathartic. You know, it was a way of releasing those things inside of her so that she did not feel, she no longer felt the pain of them by allowing them to be released and let go. So I admire her a lot. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I admire Oprah Winfrey, too, to some degree, because they share what they've gone through, and there is no shame in their sharing. And even if people will talk about it, it doesn't matter to them. It just is something that happened. So she had a home down there near you.
I know, over here in Chapel Hill. You know, I know. And she went to one of the universities, taught at one of the universities, all of that. You know, I was just amazed.
Wake Forest.
Yes, university.
Professor of American Studies, Wake Forest University.
She's
been there for a long time.
So right around the corner.
Isn't that interesting? You find out these things now.
You know, I know.
They describe her as tall and regal with a deep, majestic voice. They say she was unforgettable, whether encountered through sight, sound, or the printed word. She was an actress, singer, dancer, 1950s and 60s, and broke through once again in the 1970s with I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. That is really a famous book. And that's one of her, well, she's best known for everything she's ever done. So, what can we say?
I also wanna quote something that I heard her sing. I mean, sing. He was talking about singing, and what she said. It was a quote that she spoke of. Your crown has been paid for. Put it on your head and wear it. When she said that on this show, on Oprah's show, it sent chills through my body. When I hear her speak, it does the same thing. And she was saying that our ancestors have paved the way for us now, to this day. And she had read a book, Lessons in Truth, and there was a line in the book that said, God loves me. And she read it to one of her mentors, the late Frederick Willikerson. And he told her, read it again. Read that line again. And she said, God loves me. And he said, again. And she kept reading it, and then she broke. And even on Oprah's show, she just cried. And she said, Oprah, all the things that God has created, even you, in spite of all those things, he loves me. And when she said that, I was like, that is deep. That is deep, in spite of everything, God loves me. And you have to think, God has created everything, and he has created all your ancestors, and they have paved the way for you to get here. And when your ancestors look at you and you can sit them in your lap, can you say, are you proud of me? Are you proud of who I am, who I've become, what I have done? And because your ancestors will say, I have done everything that I could for you to get here.
Mm-hmm.
I have done everything that I can. Well, are you responsible?
Doing.
Yes.
Right.
You know? They are responsible. And can they be happy? Can they be happy?
Mm-hmm. Because of us and because we are who we are?
Yes. Are they happy? Because, you know, we have people out there in the streets, and we got people out there shooting people, and we got this and we got that out there, and, you know, stealing babies, and, you know, we're going to be talking about this the stoning, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. There's a lot of ancestors that came through here through slavery and through hardship, and they stuck through, and they, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King did a lot for us so we could be who we are. Will he be proud of who we became?
Mm-hmm.
Because he did
right.
that for us, you know, to make us a better
mm-hmm.
people. Can he be proud of who we are?
Right. Absolutely.
As they would say, you are the reason why I'm here today. You are the reason why I'm here today. So,
that's beautiful.
You know,
beautiful.
You have been paid for. That's what she said. You have been paid for. So stand up and live your life the way you're supposed to be, because your ancestors paid for you to be here. You have already been paid for. So
what are you doing with
that? Has been paid
what are you
for.
Doing?
Right, so put it on and wear it, you know?
I like that, your crown. That's
yes.
great. That's a powerful statement. Your crown has been paid for. That can go for anybody. You can put that, you can say that crown metaphorically, metaphysically. You can say it literally, your crown. Now, and it, no matter what religion you are in or whatever, someone had a crown that they wore, and someone paid for the crown that you're wearing right now today. So pick it up and put it on.
And wear it. That's all you have
and
to do.
And give it some dignity.
Right.
Give it
something. Right. Because you have come and stood as one, but your ancestors have come in 10,000s. And so when you walk, you are coming in 10,000. 10,000 of your ancestors.
You got it.
The ancestors walk with you. You come as one and stand as 10,000. I got
right.
it. I got it. You come as one and stand as 10,000. And she stated that. You come as one.
Come as
and
one.
And stand as 10,000. And anything you
That's
do,
powerful.
Duchess.
That's
anything
powerful.
You do.
Right. Remember that when you go in the grocery store. Remember that when you walk into your job. Remember that when you walk into your living room, you got a room full of people. Remember that when you walk into your church. Remember that no matter where you go. Remember that when you walk into the police department. Remember that when you walk into prison. Remember that. You come as one, but you are standing as 10,000. So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Think about it. So... she likes to go to church too. Oh, but she loved the poetry in church. That's what she loved, you know. And one of the things that I heard that may brought memories to me, because she loved that song "Go Down Moses, Way Down to Egypt's Land." you know. And she was saying it just seemed to me that the most wonderful way of talking, that was the most wonderful way of talking. And they talked about the deep river. Ooh, even now it can catch her. That's what she said, even now can catch me. And when I was listening to that, I was like, you know, kid, I was a teenager. We used to go to church. And I used to be in the choir. And you get ready, Jules, get ready, sing. And there was a song we used to sing, you know. God said, no, go down, Brother Moses, to the shores of the great Nile River, go to Egypt, tell Pharaoh, I said, to let all of my people go. And that song, when she said, go down, Moses, way down to Egypt, I was like, my gosh, I used to sing that song when I was a kid. God said, go down, Brother Moses, to the shores of the great Nile River, go to Egypt, tell Pharaoh, I said, to let all of my people go. Well, yes, you did. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel like, wow, she sang a song that I used to sing. She loved the song that I used to sing when I was a kid. That is so cool, you know.
wow.
She also worked as a coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and she did. She lived in Egypt and in Ghana, where she met Nelson Mandela. And she was a longtime friend of his, and Malcolm X, to whom she remained close until his assassination. And then it was said that 3 years after that, she was helping Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. organize the Poor People's March in Memphis, Tennessee, where the civil rights leader was slain on her birthday, her 40th birthday. He was slain.
Wow.
And they said for years after that, she and Dr. King Jr.'s wife, Coretta, would send each other flowers on her birthday. Coretta King would send them to her because it was her birthday, and she would send them to Coretta King, you know, in memory of the loss of her husband because it happened on Dr. Maya Angelou's birthday. So,
I see. Wow.
On the show, you was right. You know, she was a God-fearing woman. And Oprah Winfrey asked her, what does God mean to you? And all she could do was say, whoa. You know, it was just like, wow, what does God mean to me? And in her words, she said, God is all. And that was it. It was like, God is all. God is everything. He is all. You know, he is you, he is me, he is all. And she said, well, you know, you said you think that there's many ways, many roads to get to God. And she said, there's many roads as people to get to God. And he is all, you know. And she says, when you live life, you live life in all. When you die, you go back to all. And that is the creator. He is all. So then she said, well, what does soul mean to you? And she said, soul is just a spirit longing for all. Many gates, many people, and your soul is just a spirit longing to go back to all. I was, my mouth just fell open because, you know, there are so many books, there are so many pamphlets, there are so many newsletters out there trying to explain what the creator is, and she said it in one word, his all, you know. I was just like, that is true. Okay. And you know, and it was next, you know, what is the difference between religion and spirituality in your words? You know, she had to make sure she told in your words so people won't say, well, she said, you know, in her words, you know, religion, she said, is the map to see where you want to go. That is religion to her. It's a map to see where you want to go. Spirituality is surrender to the all. That is spirituality to me. And I, that's it. One word again, spirituality, surrender.
Right. And your religion is the map that you choose to get you to the all.
Right.
That's your map.
Yep, to help
and,
you go,
you know,
where you want to go. Go ahead.
That is so cool. Because And for those who may not, you explained it very well. But say you on your way, I'm on my way to New York City, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm on my way to New York City, and, you know, I can go up 95, and I can go straight up 95, and I can catch the George Washington Bridge to get through, and then I can do the Cross Bronx Expressway, yada, 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 yada. If I want to avoid all of that congestion at the George Washington Bridge, when I'm on the Jersey Turnpike, I can veer off, and I can go up the Garden State Parkway through New Jersey the rest of the way, come across the Tappan Zee Bridge, and then come down, you know, come down 95 from the north and come down into New York City and bypass the George Washington Bridge, because I'm going to tell you, that will be the way that I choose to travel to my all. You know,
right.
You want to go that way? You want to take the scenic route? Well, maybe I want to take a right route that's congested with traffic. Maybe I don't want to see all that scenery on the way that you choose to get from point A to point B. And we're all going to wind up at point B, no matter how we take it. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
That was great. I like that.
She was great. Yes.
Yeah. And she makes a lot of sense. I mean, to everybody, not just one or two people, to everybody. No one can argue with that. No one can argue with that. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that after the inaugural, the poem for President Clinton, she was close friends with the Clintons. She was so close to them that she supported Hillary Rodham Clinton's candidacy over our current president, although he was the brother. He is the brother. She supported Hillary Rodham Clinton's candidacy. But a few days before his inauguration, she was clearly overjoyed. She told the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, she would be watching it on television somewhere between crying and praying and being grateful and laughing when I see the faces I know. All right? But she loved that brother. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, she had to be happy to see and to be witness to alive and witnessing our first black president. Because I know that's something that a lot of people her age never thought would happen, you know?
Right.
So, that was cool.
Yes.
Where you want to go now?
Well,
where you
want to
go?
Want
to talk about these young girls, or you want to talk about this? Do you know, let's talk about this pregnant woman that was being stoned.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to talk about that?
Let's not really, but it's history. So, I mean, it needs to be heard because there is a lot of people my age and maybe even younger that don't know that it has happened or it is currently happening to people across the seas. So let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, first let's give a little background. She was 25 years old. I believe her husband was in his 40s. And she got married to him, and she got married to him against her family's wishes. They didn't want her to get married to him because he wasn't, am I talking about the same one? Because he was a Christian. And because she wouldn't renounce the religion of Christianity, her Muslim family was very upset. I'm going nuts. I'm talking about.
I think this was a different one, but go ahead.
Two different stonings here. No, the one.
That one was last week. This one was, she was 25. She married a 45-year-old man, and her father didn't want her to marry him, he wanted her to marry someone else, but she married a man of her choice. That's who she loved for many years. And they was like, no. She was pregnant, what, 3 months
absolutely
pregnant?
Right.
And
the
they
woman
went to
who I was talking about didn't have her baby yet. That's the one who is the Christian. She has not had her baby yet. Okay? They're waiting for her, the woman that married the Christian guy, they're waiting for her to have the baby so that she can breastfeed the baby for a little bit, and then they're going to stone her, and then they're going to keep the baby because they feel that the baby should not be turned over to the Christian husband after they kill the mother. Okay? I got two stories all convoluted in my brain. Okay? So,
right.
And she's the one that would not renounce her religion because she says she has always, she was always raised by a Christian parent, by a Christian mother. So she, when she married this Christian man. So, okay, all right. Sorry, everyone out there. I got two stonings. This one is still alive, so we're going to keep our eye on this one. Okay, she's still pregnant with and hasn't had the baby yet. But now the one you're reminding me of is pregnant Pakistani woman stoned to death by family. This one was stoned while she was pregnant, correct?
2 months, 2 to 3 months pregnant. And
okay.
Yes, her father and her brother and a woman, couple of more family members stoned her and her husband, but he was trying to protect his wife, but she was the one who died because she married a man of her choice, and it wasn't
right.
The one that her father wanted her to marry.
And it's called an honor killing.
Right.
Save face for the family. Okay, is that the one?
Yes.
Well, the sad part about this one, or the uncanny thing about this one, is that this man, he did an honor killing of his own wife prior to him marrying this one, this woman. So it's almost as though his previous wife was stoned, okay? We better leave this alone until we know more about it because I'm just, you know, my brain is really shaking here about what I'm trying to convey to our audience, and it doesn't feel right. Are you there?
Okay. Yes. Let's move on then. We're gonna talk about. Let's move on to a happier note. We're gonna talk about what Allah and God is doing to this weather. Oh my goodness! My daughter was in Colorado, and she's like, "Mom, do you hear that?" And I'm like, "What?" She was like, "D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d." I was like, "What is that?" She said, "That is hail. It is hail. It's hail getting on the windows, Mom. We're getting winter windows." I said, "What? 8 tornadoes?" I just was like, "What?" She's like, "I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I got tornadoes and one touchdown on the airplane port." I mean, she was right there. They had to go down into the basement. But
wow.
Nothing happened, and it's just, you know, a lot of different weathers. You know, we had a lot of thunderstorms, and it's just something is trying to be spoken, and we need to listen because, you know, the weather is trying to speak to us, and if we don't listen, it is going to say, "Hello, I hear," you know, listen, you know. So, I know that you had some weird weather going on in North Dakota, was it?
Yeah, it was North Dakota really ever gets tornadoes, I understand, and all of a sudden, there was no warning. I mean, not enough warning for their weather watchers say there's a tornado. Like I told you a couple of weeks ago, I get the message alert on my telephone, and I heard it in the middle of the night, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, somebody stole a child," because it comes on for Amber Alerts. And what happened was when I got up, this was like about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up around 9, and what was going on, when I looked at the Amber Alert, so I saw what it was a tornado warning that a tornado was headed to touch down in Leesburg, Virginia. That's where I lived. I would have slept through it. Like I told you in the last show, I would have been like Dorothy. I would have been on my way to Oz, and I would have woke up in Kansas somewhere.
But see, you that know, would have been okay because you would have been asleep. You know, you've been calm, state. You would have been in comfort zone, you know. I was not going to write this down, but I was going to write it down, but I forgot. There was a volcano erupting, and the planes can't fly through it because the ashes are all up in the sky. Come on, a volcano? Yes, a volcano is erupting. So the weather is, the earth is trying to tell us something, and we need to start listening.
One of the most beautiful shows, one of the most beautiful shows to watch on TV now is coming to its last show for the season. Excuse me. I think it's on Fox. It's called The Cosmos with deep voice, sexy voice, Neil Grasse. You know Neil deGrasse? Neil deGrasse, is that how you say his name? The Cosmos. I love him. He has a beautiful voice, The Cosmos Show. The Neil deGrasse. That's the name? That is a show because Neil, he's African-American. And he's right there in New York City at the, which museum is he at? The Museum of Science? I'm trying to bring it up on my, my computer because he's famous. African-American physicist.
Okay.
Physicist. And watch his show because the last two shows that he's going to be talking about is global warming and what is happening on planet Earth from that perspective, because there's a lot of things going on planet Earth, but we're talking about the emotional, we're talking about the physical, we're talking about the intellectual, we're talking about cultural happening. There's a whole lot going on, and I believe the entire spectrum is linked by energy. It's all linked energetically by energy. Because we're all nothing but big balls of energy. Now, some people don't know how to look at that. Some people don't believe in the aura pictures, and they don't believe in all of that. But there are cameras, special cameras, that can take the picture of the electromagnetic field around one's body. And we're big, huge balls of energy, and we're beautiful energy. We are so wonderful. Someone said at one time that when you see the pictures that they depict of Jesus Christ, the light around, you know, Jesus, that's supposed to be his aura, you know? So there's a lot going on, but it's because there's so much energy firing off simultaneously. And we're all being affected by it, and just like we're affected by it, by Earth energy, the Earth's energy is affecting us. So we can be grumpy, grouchy, we can be happy, we can be sad. The weather affects me. It affects a lot of people. When the sun isn't shining, I'm not shining, okay? It's as simple as that. When it's downcast day, I have a downcast mood. Now, of course, I can implement a change in that mood if I'm consciously aware that this is why I'm downcast. But usually when we're depressed and downcast, we just want to wallow in that, I call it that E-R thing, you know, from Winnie the Pooh, E-R, the depressed one, the donkey.
Right.
You know? So we want to, and everybody has an E-R inside of them. That mood, that depressed thing going on. You know, just like a volcano erupting, we erupt as human beings. We have ruptures. We erupt. And so we're just like the weather.
I have to say something in the show that I watched, and I'm going to try to, you know, bring it up as I can remember it. Maya Angelou said that it's all poison. You know, you put it on your hand and you spell out poison. And when you surround yourself with that energy of poison, you become poisoned. You know, it's on your clothes, it's in your skin, it's in your body. And she had gotten a kiss from her mother, and her mother said, you will be somebody. You know, you will become somebody. And she said, maybe I will be somebody. She stopped cursing because that was negativity, that was poison. And when you had quoted that everybody is a big thing of energy, she had a party at her house, and she heard somebody across her house saying something negative about racial and about homosexuals. It was like a riddle or a joke. She stopped the whole party. She said, is this your coat? Get out. Get out of my house. I will not have nothing to do with that. I will not have that around me. This is my house. And because she has now courage from little bit to bigger to bigger to bigger, she has the right now to stand up strong and be like, get out of my house. Because right now you have young people around us. We have young people around older people calling people the N-word, and, you know, they're hitting each other on the back and, hey, brother, and in, and cursing. And they're even doing this around their children, thinking that it's okay, this negativity.
Yes.
How does that energy flow out into the ground, into the trees, you know, on the street that we walk
absolutely.
On, the sky
energy.
That we... Right, the sky that we praise to God. We say, thank you, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then you go out down the street and you shoot the one that you just thank God for. That is the
right.
energy that is being confused out there that we need to straighten up so we can have a whole new life. And it's poison. And she said it again with one word, poison. We can't have the poison around us anymore. So
right. And if you go back to what you said earlier, okay, about being the all, then when you pull that trigger, you know, that's an aspect of the all. When you swear at, that's an aspect of the all that you're swearing at. When you curse
right.
at, that's an aspect of the all that you are cursing. So, and if you're part of that all, then you have sworn at yourself, you have cursed yourself, and you have murdered you.
Holy cow! Yes, yes, that is deep. Okay, that is true.
Yes. So we have to, that's why, you know, Sanskrit, when they say namaste, the divine in me salutes the divine in you. That's what namaste is. When you say, assalamu alaikum, I send you peace, wa alaikum assalam, and in peace I return to you. You know what I'm saying? So it's all a part of the all. And before I forget, his name is Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he is the director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City, I believe.
Okay.
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 Good job.
Cosmos. Okay. On Fox. On Fox. Watch Cosmos, or go and pull it up online and watch the past shows, and you're gonna find out a lot about your energy. And he is an astrophysicist. I had to get the right kind of physicist. He's an astrophysicist. Okay, had to throw
okay.
that in here before we got off the air, because I don't want people
well,
to think that.
Well, this has been
I'm
a good
just...
show. Oh my goodness, this was an honorary show, and we are commending an honorary woman. And I just this was beautiful. I really enjoyed the show tonight.
Mm-hmm. So on one, before we close, I want to say about the 300, it's now 276 young women that are still remaining missing, I believe. Or is it 219 still missing? A couple of them escaped. And they know where the girls are. They may have already rescued them by the time this show airs. But they, at the last, my last knowing, it says that they know where the girls are now, but to try and rescue them, it might be dangerous for their lives for them to go in and rescue them at this point, right this minute. So that's a cool thing. Something else. There is this new website, this website called Indiegogo, Indiegogo, where they are doing fundraising for research on solar-paneled roadways. And this is roadways with LED lights on the road. My understanding, because I saw a small video of these types of roadways, they would definitely be like Tron, where they, you know, like you're in the futuristic, all the roads all lit up, you know, that kind of thing. There would be no more snow on the roads because they would not allow the snow to stay on the roads. You can't say you can't drive in the snow. I want everyone to go to Indiegogo, Indiegogo, and check out solar-paneled roadways. It's going to blow your mind. I just wish there was a way that I could find to invest. I think this would be a good investment. I'm not just donate for donate. I want to invest in it, you know, because I want a legacy as being a part of this development. That's what I want. So I guess that's all that I have to say on current events. I think current events was wonderful. So are we going to close with the angel or medicine card? Or
let's do an angel card. Let's do an angel.
You always want to do the cards that...
Well, I always do the animal, and you
That's
say
true.
I always do that one, so, you know.
It's unbelievable. It's like you're hiding from me.
Well, I just read up on Iyanna Van Zandt. No. Huh?
Iyanna Van Zandt?
Yes,
you
I read
up on
her.
What about her?
I love her also.
You're so cute. So you need to make up your mind. Am I going to look for angels? Am I going to look for animals? Am I going to look for Iyanna Van Zandt? All right, I'm going to see if I can find a Iyanna Van Zandt. I do have Iyanna right here.
No, I was looking up in the computer because she was talking about the shrine that she has in her house, and it some people say that it takes 9 days for someone to cross over or 3 days for someone to cross over, and I was like, well, let's read an angel card, and maybe we can just, you know, send a spirit, you know, out there. And so that's why I was saying angel. As you was looking for those angel cards, did you find them?
No, but I picked up a Iyanna Van Zandt book, and...
Oh, that's wonderful.
And the page that I picked up for everyone who has a book is Faith in the Valley, Lessons... Well, this is Lessons for Women, but hi, guys. If you're all out there and you don't mind, I'm going to read this, and then I can pull an animal for everybody. But it's Faith in the Valley. Iyanna Van Zandt, called Persistence, and he goes, spirit never fails. While it may seem as if you can call out and get no answer, spirit never fails to answer a sincere call. We will call a friend 10 or 20 times until we get an answer, yet you call out the spirit once and only half expect an answer. Unfortunately, many of our calls to spirit are filled with doubt, fear, unreasonable demands, and unworthy requests. These calls will receive a busy signal only when we open our hearts, bring forth the pure, unadulterated truth, and rely on spirit to show up. Will we receive the divine response in the divine way, in the divine time? Spirit never fails. We, however, often fail to make the proper connections. The thought is, I have a spiritual connection, and I do not have to pull an animal card for the guys out there, because that's for everybody. We all have a divine connection.
Right.
Are we good?
We're good.
Oh, I'm getting ready to say, you sound disappointed that I won't get one of those animals out for you.
I said we're good.
Okie dokie. So, on that note, you want to call it a night?
All righty. Have a good night.
I've enjoyed this. I've had a good time. And you be good until we
you
meet
too.
Again. When's the next show? The next show will be the 15th. And then we'll be halfway through the month of June. So everybody give Jules and I a call. Give us a call anytime at area code 347-324-3030. We need to let you know that everything about this show is from Jules and I's interpretation. So, you know, don't go thinking that we think we know everything, because we don't. We just know a lot about different stuff. And the information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. And with that, this is Gutches signing off until the 15th of June. Everybody stay blessed and know that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.